Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I want to talk about some kind of headline stories about the motoring sector. 27% more drug driving offences in the first 9 months of 2025 than all of last year. So is it detection or is it, I suppose, participation?
It would appear to be participation, I would imagine, Pat. I mean, we know that the Gardaí, the road police and Gardaí are under-resourced at the moment and there's fewer numbers. So the fact that they're detecting more offences would suggest that the actual prevalence of drug driving behaviour is substantially underestimated. We also know there's more drugs coming into the country than ever before. And anecdotally, I mean, people will tell you that they've been offered drugs that normally wouldn't in all sorts of places. So, I think this is becoming a very concerning issue more than anything on our roads.
So the kind of penalties, I presume it's similar to the drink driving laws, you're off the road.
Yeah, it is indeed. But I think there's a disconnect really and lack of understanding between the impact of drug taking on your driving. And it's not as clear, Pat, I suppose, as alcohol. I think most people have a kind of a basic understanding that, you know, a unit of alcohol takes about an hour to go from your system. And therefore, if you've been drinking the night before, you know, you have to be careful in the morning and allow a certain number of hours. Obviously, drug driving is completely different. Drugs can stay in your system for a lot longer. It's not only, and in some cases, they're quite high levels of drug use, but there's also a mixture of drugs being used. So therefore, the impact would be very different on different people. So it's a much more complex picture. And I think there's a huge amount of education that needs to be addressed. And I know the RSA have had campaigns particularly targeted at young people about the impact and the risk of drug driving. But obviously, there's more we can do because the message is just not getting through. Mm.
Now, obviously, when people are jarred with alcohol, I mean, they tend to slow down a bit. I mean, there might be an initial kind of burst of adrenaline, but then alcohol kind of slows people down and they, you know, they'll know they are drunk. People who go for stimulants like cocaine may feel like they are, you know, in great shape, superb, fit, bright, sharp, maybe sharper than they would normally be. And that gives a false sense of confidence. They get into the car and heaven knows what they'll do.
Exactly. And there's obviously increased risk taking. And also, as I was saying, Pat, they don't know how long it's in their system for. So they might feel perfectly fine and think, oh, yeah, it's long gone at this stage. But it can take a couple of days to actually leave your system. So there's all sorts of issues there. So I think this is definitely, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a criminal aspect to it, but there's also an education aspect that really does need to be addressed.
Now, every weekend or every Monday, we tend to look at our reports on media, newspapers, print, television, so on. More people dead on our roads. Is it a perception that things are getting worse, not better?
No, unfortunately, just looking at the figures from this morning, it's now 171 people have died on our roads this year. That's compared to 164 last year. So, you know, it's not just a perception. It is going up and it's a worrying trend because it's been like this for the past few years. So, definitely. And in a year where the government had started the year saying that they were going to do various different things in terms of road safety and change the speed limit on three specific types of roads. And we see now only one of those came in, which was the rural roads in February. The plan to bring in a 30 kilometre speed limit in urban areas has been shelved. And also we've heard nothing about the plan to bring in an 80 kilometre speed limit on the undivided national secondary roads, because we know that 100 kilometres is just too fast when cars can actually have head-on collisions. So, like, it just seems extraordinary that these plans have been shelved.
Now, I want to move on to e-scooters, because I know it's quite common for tourists to ride, you know, publicly rented e-scooters coming home from bars and clubs when they're on holidays. And asking around, we've found people have been caught riding them under the influence in Germany, for example, where you can get a fine of up to €1,500 if you're caught. People also mentioned getting caught by police in Greece for reckless e-scooter driving. But this case really has caught the headlines. A woman called Alicia Kemp was sentenced to 4 years behind bars after this backpacker. She's from England. She's 25 years old. But she hit and killed a man called Tan Pan as she rode an e-scooter while drunk in Perth's central business district.
CCTV captured the moments leading up to the fatal crash as Alicia Kemp, holding the scooter and a passenger, make the decision to ride through Perth's CBD in May this year. In August, she pleaded guilty to dangerous driving causing death while under the influence of alcohol.
So, 4 years she got for killing a man on an e-scooter. And I recommend if people want to go online and Google it, they can find pictures of herself and her friend, and they are completely stoicious drunk. That's the only word for it. They can hardly stand, and they end up hopping up on this scooter and killing a man. Shocking.
No, this is a particularly a horrific case, and it has actually reframed the e-scooter public debate in Australia. And I suppose it's made people look at them not as just harmless, you know, micro-mobility devices, but as vehicles that are capable of death. And I think if something similar happened here, we would certainly be looking at reviewing our e-scooter regulations. And it certainly raises a lot of questions, because there's a lot of hospital data across the EU that show alcohol involvement is disproportionately high in serious e-scooter traumas, especially during evenings and weekend hours. So this is not just a one-off case. It is something that, you know, does really need to be considered here.
You know, we don't have scooter hire readily available anywhere. I think we have e-bikes available in some places, but not e-scooters for hire. We may not go there as a result of this kind of thing. But already in Australia, they're kind of reframing the whole debate about these e-scooters that are shared on hire, and whether or not helmets should be mandatory and speed limits rigorously enforced and all of that kind of thing. So they don't think they can actually reverse the trend. E-scooters will be ridden and will be useful micro-mobility devices, but maybe they've got to kind of reframe the whole regulatory environment for them.
Yeah, certainly across Europe at the moment, there's a move to treat e-scooters as cars, really, when it comes to alcohol, that e-scooter riders should face the same consequences as car drivers. And we can clearly see from this case that they can do as much damage in that sense, you know, to pedestrians. So they are something that has to be considered. And I think the one thing about the RSA is when they brought in the regulations around e-scooters, they were very much of the opinion, we'll wait and see what happens, and they will be revised if necessary. And I think one of the things, apart from just alcohol, Pat, that needs looking at is the fact that now e-scooter incidents are the number one cause of traumatic brain injury to children. And this is despite the fact that they're illegal for under 16-year-olds. So there's something going radically wrong there, that they're causing this amount of trauma to kids, and yet they're not legally supposed to be on the road. So where is the enforcement? Why are they being bought by parents? This raises all sorts of questions. So I think that's something that really needs addressing, along with the risks of alcohol.
Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Ed, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.